Welcome to the Permanent Wealth Podcast, where we explore the art of investing and personal finance. My name is Adam Walkham, and during this series, I will be interviewing a number of super smart people where we discuss the biggest issues in both investing and personal finance. Nothing contained within this podcast should be regarded as personal investment advice. The discussions within are for information and entertainment purposes only. If you have any questions on how any of this relates to your personal circumstances, please get in touch with a financial advisor. This episode is brought to you by Permanent Wealth Partners. Permanent Wealth Partners help career professionals such as lawyers, consultants, and bankers achieve a sense of profound financial peace through financial planning. Their clients achieve absolute clarity on their current and future financial positions, structural safety in terms of risk analysis and mitigation, and maximize growth opportunities through portfolio optimization. If any of those sound interesting to you, then get in touch with them at hello@permanentwealth.co.uk. That's hello@permanentwealth.co.uk. And they will see if they're the right fit for you. And now, on with the show.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to follow up my previous email from last week. As the situation in Russia and Ukraine, whilst very scary and obviously, you know, has a lot of humanitarian impact, the impact on financial markets has been relatively significant as well. And as with any situation like this, the world moves and the news changes. So I wanted to follow up my previous note with a little bit more color in terms of our thoughts on the situation in terms of financial markets. I also wanted to include Adrian Johnson, who's a partner with me here, and we will discuss here some of the implications on what's happening, timing around what we think of what's happening to markets, and then also potential actions that you can take depending on the situation. So, Adrian, welcome.
Adam, thanks very much. Shall I kick us off with a little bit of discussion around context? Because I think every time that something big comes up, we tend to focus on the here and now, and setting a little bit of context often helps when they're big, challenging things. So I say fortunate with my tongue firmly in my cheek, but we've been fortunate enough to see a big financial crisis in 2008 that no one saw coming. And we've seen, you know, the downs and the ups that have flowed from that. Again, we've seen the pandemic that all of a sudden the world's gone quiet on, but that's all we heard about for the last 2 years, where particularly markets had a very big reaction, but we've come back from that. And now we've got a big conflict on continental Europe, which we haven't seen. I mean, I suppose the issues in the former state of Yugoslavia is probably the last big conflict on the continent. But if you want to get really, the last war on the continent could work even further. So in terms of context and in terms of what markets are doing, I think it's interesting just to take that deep breath and think, okay, we've seen some of these big events kick us or kick markets before. I think, you know, the lessons that we're going to probably draw out of this will effectively be drawing on past experience to a large extent, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's the context is fascinating because it's always different and it always feels different and it always feels unprecedented, which is that word again. But more often than not, and history guides us, it's exactly the same. And I think you're right. When you think about what we've been through in just in our, I say short lifetime, I'd like it to, you know, consider it. Hey, let's call it investing lifetime. You know, we have been through 9/11. We have been through the 87 stock market crash. We have been through, you know, the tech bubble and 9/11. We have been through the global financial crisis, where the entire financial system was basically 24 hours away from pretty much, you know, ATMs stopping, not working, and banks not honoring transactions in, you know, card transactions. We went through what was very much forgotten was Europe itself with Greece and, you know, the debt issues around Europe potentially. Thoughts that Europe was going to, the EU was going to break apart. And then obviously COVID for the last couple of years. I mean, you know, we have been through any number of significant markets impacting global events. And every time the markets have come back because that's just what they do. Now, there is always a sense of context around this. And just because, you know, I think the COVID one is really interesting because that was so sudden and so severe, that sell-off. You know, I think it's the FTSE and the S&P were both down around 35% on 1 month, which is just astounding. The rebound with that was really quick, which, you know, fantastic. Yet we all dealt with real-world implications on after that. You know, if we go back to something like 9/11 and the dot-com bubble, you know, that was a good couple of years after that dot-com bubble blew up. That markets kind of drifted lower there, but that was also for a couple of reasons there. That was, you know, A, 9/11 came along, but B, that the big preloaded spending on the Y2K bug just stopped as well. The GFC, you know, peaked in 2007 and then bottomed again in March 2009. So, you know, the difference this time is maybe we had early on, we had that, you know, the whole GameStop NFT, you know, craziness that went on. But that was 12 months ago. And a lot of that, you could potentially say that was the bubble then. But then what is interesting is that a lot of those meme stocks and those sort of really high profile super growth, they peaked back in June last year. And some of them are down 60, 70, 80% already, even before like this recent sell-off. So, I mean, the market, in terms of that context, you know, markets go through ups and downs all the time. And this is, you know, we talk about, I've talked to all of my clients about the idea that we just go through these cycles of wave cycles. Sometimes we're in a growth phase and sometimes we call what's called a value phase. So the growth phase is where growth looks exciting and the value phase where growth looks less than exciting and value and cash flows look exciting. And we're clearly in that value cycle phase at the moment and have been pretty much since November, December, January. So then the question then is how long that lasts. And you know, I don't know. No one knows. Mr. Putin's probably the man who knows. But whether he knows or not.
Pretty crazy at the moment. I'm not crazy, but certainly a crazy situation we're dealing with. I think one of the important things you pulled out there is timing is so important. And you know, we spend a lot of time with our clients talking about risk as part of our overall planning and helping them with their finances, our financial advisory process. There's a big chunk around risk, and risk has that very intertemporal factor to it. And so we're talking about markets going up and down and events that have come along that have had a big negative impact for a relatively short period of time if your horizon is a long one. And so, you know, the majority of our clients, I think, are long-term investors. We do have some people who are sort of in retirement, but still the way people are living these days, retirement isn't a 10-year proposition. It's a 30-year proposition. So
absolutely.
That goes back to being, you know, even our clients who are fortunate enough to be, you know, retired and enjoying life, not working, have still got a long-term investment horizon. And so that really needs to be, I think, one of the key things that informs any response to these sorts of events. You just said that predicting is a mug's game, really. I mean, it's working on, you know, yes, there's the possibility this could have been over quickly. That was probably what Putin was after, the quick result. The West has pushed back with almost increasingly day by day, more and more pressure building, which is at some point likely to have the desired impact. So what does that actually mean? Because this is a very complex, and it's not the subject of this discussion, but a very complex conflict. So it could be over quickly. It could drag on for a few years. And so what that means for people's investment portfolios is going to be different things to different people. But this is where things like diversification and the types of things you own and that comes into play.
I think the interesting part there is around when you talk about risk, and with, you know, having had that discussion, you know, with all of our clients around risk and how that looks like, and helping clients understand their own versions of risk, because everyone has a different perception of what is risk and how, and frankly, it is different for everybody because everyone's life is different. Everyone's total asset picture, including sort of property, including guaranteed pensions, including, you know, potential inheritance coming, it's totally different for everybody. So what is one person's risk over here is totally different to another person's risk over there, even though on face-to-face their situation might look identical. But everyone has different situations coming in. And it's part of, you know, what you and I do is just gradually unpick that. Well, not even gradually, it forms a key part of the discussion right at the start. And a continual part of that discussion is unpicking, okay, really, where are the risks? And one thing we have mentioned a lot over the last 12 months with all our clients is this inflation risk, because this is a risk that we've identified, I mean, at least 12 months ago, that this was coming. Because you can't have interest rates at zero forever. It just doesn't exist. And especially with a global economy reopening after being locked down and everyone wanting to go and spend money and do stuff. So having that inflation risk is built in as part of the planning. So what does that inflation risk do? Well, that means it pushes you a little more towards the assets, the real assets. So it's equities, it's businesses, it's property, it's things like that that give you that protection, and it moves you away from bonds and cash. Now, that's fine, but it has to be on a longer dated basis, because for this very reason, in terms of what we're seeing now. Because what we're seeing now is the context of those risk equities and property, not so much, but call it equities in general, markets have come off. And have come off, you know, in the last couple of months, they're off, call it 15% from the peaks. Yet, you know, and cash obviously is king, and you've got the global markets are in a risk off mode at the moment. Now, that's fine. And in terms of everyone's different situation, yes, it's not very pleasant looking at your portfolio and the fact that it was up here and now it's down there. And that clearly just, you know, that doesn't feel good to do that. But in the nature of the planning around the longer dated assets, you know, and the risk assets, the way that we've weighted clients' portfolios on purpose is the longer dated risk positions in terms of the assets they're realistically not going to need for 10, 15, 20 years. They're the ones that have been impacted the most, because they're the ones that, frankly, they don't need at this point, because they're longer dated, and they're the ones that will come down and they will come back up as there is a resolution to this. So the risk side is important. And whilst cash feels good right now, at some point that is going to weigh really, really heavy on those portfolios when we get back into that growth phase. Now, who knows when that's going to be? Could it be next week, next month? Next year? I mean, who knows? But it's just monitoring and, you know, watching those portfolios. And I think hopefully when clients look at their balances again and would think about the plans we put forward, you know, I hope we've done those discussions, and the fact that we're, you know, they're clients of ours means we've kind of had those discussions already, which hopefully puts them in a much better situation already. They're kind of starting well out in front with a plan in place. And I know it's horrible hearing the noise about the news. And also you've got, you know, when you read the financial markets press, and because that clearly, you know, markets dropping makes good clicks and makes good news. So the news generally reports it with relish. So, but, you know, where our clients are now, they're actually, yes, you know, they're looking at potentially some negative numbers and some red numbers on the screen. Okay, that's fine. That's part of investing. But with the plan in place, they still are in a very strong position.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of things we talk about with clients to pick up on some of the themes there. One is clarity. And I think our job, if we've done it well, is people understand that they've got various pots of money to you know, pick a term, assigned to various objectives and goals within their overall portfolio. And so they have clarity around that. And the second one is structural safety, where, again, the money's in the right place, the money's doing the right thing, it has a job to do, and that is robust. Now, you know, the definition of risk in financial markets really is volatility. So that means if things just keep going up, that's not volatile. They've got to go up and down. So when we're actively embracing risk, a term we use as within our risk discussion, we're embracing the volatility. And so if we've done our job correctly, clients have clarity around that. They know that everything's structurally sound, but they're embracing this volatility because on the long term, that's part of the game. So yes, I think that's, you know, that's us. If we're doing our job well, our clients should be in a position where they can cognizize that. Some, you know, part of the exercise of having this discussion and making it available is to sort of help remind them a little bit, because when the news is front and center, obviously that can be a bit disruptive.
And that volatility, I just pick up on a point there, and it's something I referred to in my last newsletter, was that volatility is frankly the price, in inverted commas, of long-term return. Yeah. And that price is not necessarily financial. That it's emotional. You know, it is. It's emotional. It's physical in terms of, you know, things tighten up, and, you know, all of you have a visceral reaction to watching markets fall. There is a very emotive sense of that, because, you know, in some way, everyone feels that. It's totally human to feel that, and that is the toll, effectively, as in, or the price of the long term return. Yeah. Now, when and hindsight, which is such a wonderful thing. And when we look at, you know, the 23rd of March, 2020, which is ironically the day I hosted a webinar around the sell-off, wouldn't that have been a day to put money in the market? But you know what? nobody did. As in, because that was the day everything felt worse, because that was the absolute lows. And so there's two sides of this. It's pointless trying to kick yourself when, you haven't put more in when the market's down, because, in hindsight, that looks great because we all forget how we felt at that point. But at the same time, we do need to go through these periods of ups and downs, because that's what markets do. Markets continually, again, to use another paraphrase, climb the wall of worry. And a lot of the froth, et cetera, needs to come out. And frankly, has been not only in the last 2 weeks, but in the last, as I said before, 9 months, a lot of that froth has actually come out. And to argue, is it a good thing that markets start focusing on earnings and cash flow again? Well, maybe it is. maybe the likes of Mr. Buffett and other long-term, very successful investors think this is, these are the times that they relish.
Well, they certainly like to buy when things are low. Now, figuring out when that is obviously the hard part, and that's why they're the champions of long-term investing. For relating things back to clients' vows, I think it's important that the mindset, and this is not, this is something to paraphrase a number of other people, when stocks go on sale when things are down. And so if you're investing and you're steadily investing in the market, then this is a time when you're acquiring a little bit more of some of those big companies that have been here for a long time, have been performing for a long time, and that is the equities market. So, there is a silver lining and a positive spin you can put on that. But there's definitely going to be some winners and losers out of a big shake up like this. There always is, and there was in the pandemic, and initially it was the tech stocks, and then they sort of had a big run, and they've come off a bit. But clearly oil companies or energy is a big area that's impacted because of Russia's very strong links to Europe, certainly with in terms of energy, and then the knock-on effects in the market, and the latest one's wheat. So other commodities, wheat coming out of the Ukraine. So again, we're talking supply side shocks, which tend to be a bit slower to work themselves out. Demand side shocks, the authorities have a lot more power to do something quickly. Lower interest rates, go quantitative easing. They've tried that was the financial crisis. That's when they had to get all the tools out of the toolbox and then invent a new toolbox, basically. But supply side can take a bit longer, and it can mean that certain industries have a run into the medium term, whereas others might falter. But I want to just duck back to diversification, because in virtually all cases with our clients, diversification is a key part of the portfolio construction. And that means owning the 1,000, 2,000 biggest and best companies as part of your portfolio, at least the core bit. And so the winners and losers offset each other in all that. So, you are perhaps winning in some parts of your portfolio and getting hit in others, but because we've used diversification, and it is a great tool in that respect to help deal with these big shocks. So a key takeaway from that is if you're invested across the whole market, you're going to get some winners and some losers, even out of the most extreme circumstances and the most dire, in the case of Ukraine, obviously a horrible thing to be going on, but you're not going to be completely mashed by that.
Yeah. And look, the diversification angle it's something, the way that we obviously set the firm up, we don't do stock specific recommendations, by as a rule, because it's just there, you're creating a new stock specific risk around that. We stick with the fund selection, and at a lot of those fund level, we actually stick with passive index trackers. So to even broaden that out further. And I think in terms of that, so sometimes for certain clients, we'll do some sector specific funds. And that's fine again, but it's a broad based sector view. So yes, out of this, you are going to get some winners and losers clearly. And, we may even go into a recession for a short time. The interesting thing about the recession though, is that most firms on a corporate level and at a personal level, it is very rare to go into recession with corporate balance sheets so healthy and personal balance sheets so healthy, in terms of regarding of the savings ratios and the levels of cash on each balance sheet. So even if we do go through a recession, it's not a normal recession comes in because we've been overextended on debt and binged on a personal level and credit cards and auto loans and all of that stuff and corporate debt. But that we're not in that situation now. So even if we do get a sort of a short supply side recession, realistically, given the fact that, what's unemployment is so low, both here and in the US and globally, really, it shouldn't be that long, even if we get a short one. So that's a view on that. And the other view in terms of going back to diversification, you mentioned sort of oil and mentioned wheat and something like, I use a classic example here, something like Google. I mean, all right, how much and yes, this is just, again, one name, but you know, of Google or of Apple or of Microsoft, how much of this, and these share prices have come off 10-15% in the last couple of weeks, how much of their global earnings really are going to be impacted like this on the longer term when we look back to in 20 years' time? And it's going to be virtually nothing. It's going to be virtually nothing. But the idea is we are just in that risk-off scenario at the moment. I just want, before we sort of finish off, I just wanted to hark back to something you just said previously there, which was also fascinating in terms of, you talked about the phases different people are going through and where and what phases there are. And, you know, I put this down, the way I think about this is, if anybody is working, now this is so for anyone out there working at the moment, then like through your auto-enrollment pension, your employment pension, you are naturally investing every single month automatically without you even realizing it. And guess what? You are buying now at 15% effectively lower than you were 12 months ago or 6 months ago, which is fantastic. And you're not even thinking about it. You're not even putting any cash to work, but you are buying at a lower level on a long-dated asset, which is you are going to use at some point in the future. So, you know, for the working people, that is a natural advantage they have. You want to be buying when things are low, and you're doing that right now, which is great. For the people who aren't working and who are retired, so A, you most likely have some sort of income that is inflation linked, be it either a pension from an employer of an ex-employer or a state pension. So all of those are inflation linked. So you are protected against that. You then may also have a pension pot, which potentially you are drawing income from. So as far as actions for those folk, one of the potential options, and this comes down to, you know, having this sort of safety net we talked about with all our clients on of cash on the side, a potential would be to suspend some of those draw that you're using in a pension pot, because that means you're not selling to actually raise cash at this point. If you've got a cash safety net there, which you're happy to use. So that it's an option potentially to think about for, let's say, our retired clients who are drawing in income. And that's an option that we used for some clients in March 2020. And frankly, it worked very well because markets bounced back pretty quickly. And for clients, we suspended payments for, you know, 2 or 3 months, and they were able to use cash resources. So if that is your scenario, that is an option we could certainly look at. Going back to the former scenario, if you're working, then you're buying more for your buck through your annual pension payments now. If you're making regular contributions in your ISAs and other investment accounts, then you're getting more bang for your buck right now. Again, it's fantastic. You know, I've had a couple of clients, probably 3 or 4 or even 5 now, say, is it now a good time to put some money in? And I went, well, yes. I mean, it's always a good time to put money in, because you are, you know, what does that mean? Money falls, you know, it's going to fall another 5-10% over the next month too. Maybe, yes. But what do we think is going to happen to that money in 5 years' time, or in 10 years' time, or in 15 years' time, or in 20 years' time? Is that money going to be higher? Well, you know, history tells us, yes, it is. And again, that's not a view. That's not a personal view. That's just what history tells us. And so as long as you don't need to access those funds, like any investment, you shouldn't invest anything that you need to access for at least the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, then yes, now is a great time to put some more money in. But again, that comes down to, it feels contrarian. It feels crazy. But you know, when we look back in hindsight, quite often, it's the best time to do it.
Yeah. I think, Adam, in terms of actions, it's always good to give some, you know, people, clients, some potential takeaways. And I think first and foremost to our clients and you know, any friends of clients or whatever, speak to your financial advisor if you're concerned. Our job is to help put people at ease and help them think through problems. Now, you know, a lot of people will be affected by the current situation in different ways. Some people may have family, Ukraine, you know, in Ukraine or that part of the world, or be exposed to other things. So if your finances are on your mind, then you should be speaking to your financial advisor. But, you know, our job is to give you the idea of, look, this is very unfortunate for all manner of reasons, but my finances being affected is not something I should be worrying about. So that's the first thing to say. I think the second thing that I would, you know, suggest is to just go back and think about context. I think it matters. We've seen this before. It's part of the plan. Volatility is something we've bought into. We've purposefully embraced it because we are seeking that long-term gains that the equity markets have historically provided. And so, you know, you talked about the price, the emotional price of being invested. So I think for people thinking about this in their finances, do add a context to your thinking. The other thing I'd suggest is behaviors are very important. And if you're someone who's got the right behaviors around your money, you've got advice, you've got a plan, you're sticking to a plan, you're putting money aside, you're paying your bills, all that sort of stuff, then I would say that, you know, your behaviors will guide you through all the ups and downs. This is just another example, and who knows what's around the corner, but having the right behaviors in place, and we often, you know, speak to clients about that as well, just, you know, steady approach, investing for the long term, all that sort of good stuff makes these types of volatile times less stressful by a whole quantum leap, because you're not concerned. You've got mentally, you understand what's going on. You've got clarity, and you know that if you really are concerned, you're going to just pick up the phone. So I think for me, the actions really are, if you're worried, speak to your advisor, think about it, this in context, and stick to your good behaviors that we've talked to you about, because that's what's going to stand you in good stead.
Couldn't agree more. They're three great takeaways. And, you know, it comes back, nothing is as bad as it ever seems, and nothing is as good as it ever seems. So, you know, the roller coaster is always a roller coaster, but what we feel as though the highs and lows, and it's just not helped by and amplified by media and news and things like that. There are highs and lows through everything, but from a financial markets perspective, it also lurches from the highs to lows constantly. But ultimately, you know, you look back at the progress and the trend is higher. And so it's understanding that that's the general trend, and we just position ourselves to ride that general trend, albeit with an understanding that there will be some ups and downs, you know, from that trend line along the way.
Great. Awesome, Adam. Thanks for that chat.
Pleasure, Adrian. Look, and thanks for everyone for watching and listening. And again, reiterating what Adrian said, if you've got any questions, please feel free to reach out. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.